It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Hours here. Adam Hill is the company. Justin Watkins, the real Justin Watkins, is back. The real Justin Watkins is back.
Was there a false?
That beardless thing, I don't know what that was.
It didn't take me long, though, did it?
It took 2 weeks. That's pretty good. Yeah, it takes me, I can't grow a full beard, so I can't even say it takes me a certain amount of time.
It's pretty full. You don't have any spot missing along the jawline and through the mustache.
We've gone through this before. I have to go to your beard guys and we'll get it. Yeah, we'll get it together. All right, important stuff to get to here on this Wednesday. We're going to be here every Wednesday throughout the football season, just about every Wednesday, throughout the football season at Battleborn Injury Lawyers in the Battleborn Broadcast Center. So I was just telling the audience and Adam before we went to break, I have a case I need to go through. I've had some issues, and this is why. It's actually Adam. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of your martyrdom.
Still waiting.
I want you to give the story. This is what he does for a living. I've asked you repeatedly to call Justin because I sense your frustration, but I also know you like the angst. Let's eliminate
the angst. Following instructions. I don't think I should be, but I'm following instructions.
You shouldn't. Here's the bully on the block. Use them.
I had a rental car in California. I got hit by somebody.
Okay.
Got over. First of all, he was like, why don't you just turn the rental car in and see if they say anything? I was like, no. It was pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, let me get all your information, take care of all of that. And I emailed it in to the rental car company and said, hey, this guy hit me. I'm bringing the car back on Sunday, but here's what happened. And they said, okay, when you come in, give us the information. Cool.
So in the email, you did not give them the other driver's information?
I did.
Oh, okay. All right.
But they said, we don't take it here. Give it to the actual place you take it on Sunday.
Okay.
So I take it in Sunday, and they're like, no, we don't want that. We'll just put it on your insurance, and then they can take care of it. And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
No, that's terrible. I was like, take this stuff.
Right.
And they said, no, like we don't do that. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, if you're not going to give us your information, like there's nothing we can do. And I said, okay, what is the process here? And they said, well, they have a third party that processes all these claims. They'll contact me.
Okay.
I said, okay, cool. So I went, called this third party thing, and they said, process takes a while. We'll call you when we need all this information from you.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting for them to call back again.
But you have a contact information for the processing, the third party. It's called a TPA, third party administrator.
But they said to wait for them to call me.
Yeah.
I already called them once.
No. Do you have like an email or an address or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, send it.
Okay.
Send it in, right? Okay. You back yourself up because you don't want to open yourself up to a situation in which they said, well, we couldn't open a claim with the other driver's insurance because we weren't provided the information. So therefore, we had to open it with the only information we had, which was the renter's. Now, let me set your mind at ease. If they make a claim against your insurance will get recovery from the at-fault drivers for anything. So they'll get what's called subrogation. They'll get full payment. Your rates won't go up. You were not at fault. So you're going to be fine at the end of the day, but at the same time, if you have contact information for people, and I'm happy to write the letter for you and include it all, then you document what the information you're sending to them so they can never claim that it was untimely, that you weren't cooperating, that you weren't participating in the investigation that they needed to do in order to get the repairs done. And This doesn't only apply to you. This applies to like listeners and the public in general.
That's why we bring the stuff up on the air.
Is you can call me. Adam, you can call my cell. You already have it anytime on stuff like this. But the public can call our office. If you're not hurt, we don't have to represent you. But people don't know what to do in these situations. And we can just provide you guidance. Like, hey, do X, Y, and Z. There's no charge for it. It's just I don't want people out there getting taken advantage of because they don't know what their rights are or what the process looks like. And if you haven't gone through it before, then you got all this anxiety about it. You don't know what it looks like. We go through it hundreds of times every day. So, you know, we could just give you some simple direction and some peace of mind.
Why can't things be easy in life?
Well, on the flip side of that, if things were easy, then I probably wouldn't have a job. I say, if, you know, if insurance companies treated people like humans, I would be out of business, but they don't. They treat people like actuary tables, and that's why we exist.
Well, thank you for that. Yes. I told Steve said it on the air because I don't like bothering you, but I know this is what you do, so.
Yeah, it's no bother because there's...
It's just a very annoying process.
Yeah. Yes,
and frankly, I don't want to hear about it. Like, you have enough stories that I have to... I don't have to do anything because I'm friends with you, but I'm like, come on, this one's easy. Okay, let's get back. That was all nice. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Important stuff. By the way, office in Reno, Vegas, downtown Vegas, Henderson, 775 when you dial 766-1400.
Summerlin, Henderson, downtown.
Summerlin, Henderson, downtown.
Yeah, it's easier. So people, you know.
Oh, Summerlin. We're in Summerlin.
We're
okay.
In Summerlin right now.
You're
so
right.
Like, yeah,
right.
Sort of covers
I live in
the
Vegas.
Valley.
You. This is Summerlin. You're right. Yeah. It's. I'm not going to do, you know, Lovey and her accent.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is going to be good.
Okay.
I believe Adam's sticking to his guns here. You saw a column in USA Today about how the Aces are what?
Oh, they're terrible. They stink. Okay. Let's face it. They stink.
By the way, they're 18 and 12.
Yeah. Let's face it, they stink.
Really?
I think that was the headline of the column.
Yeah, but the column said they're a good team. It literally said they're a good team. They're a team that's about the level that they were when they got bounced in the semis in 2019. That's basically what it said. But they don't think they're good. They might not be
a championship team anymore.
Right.
Also, yeah.
I think that's what they said about the Chiefs last year too during the regular season.
It is,
you know, that's how I see it.
It's also, this is something I said at the beginning. This is not something I'm saying now.
Yep.
When they're struggling, I said at the beginning of the year they're not going to have a great regular season. They are bored.
Yeah.
They're bored of the regular season. They're focused on the Olympics. They've got a lot of other things to take care of. Now they've got lawsuits coming from all different angles that they've got to deal with. They've got all these things. I do think they can flip a switch when the playoffs come. I guess other people don't, and that doesn't mean they're going to win it. But I think they are going to, because other teams have gotten better.
Yep.
But I think they are going to look like a different team when the playoffs start than they do now.
No, I think that's true. And, you know, they had more players in the Olympics on the Olympic team than anybody else. They didn't get a big long break after the Olympics. They come back, they're playing. And, I mean, Becky Hammon said it at the beginning. She was having a hard time motivating them. That was before the first game of the season. Yeah. She was saying that. Yeah. So I do think that there is, you know, you do two championships back to back, there is a little lack of motivation for the regular season. I mean, you even heard Kelsey say it on his podcast that, like, and when he's mic'd up, you know, the regular season, it's a grind. It's hard to keep getting up for it. But the playoffs is just a different animal.
Aces are the Chiefs. That's fair.
Yeah, well, they are right now.
Yeah, I know.
Two-time defending. And,
But they're not.
Why not?
But they're not. Because they're not going to flip the switch.
Well, you don't need them. I mean, this has been
great.
Well,
this is not
for
about
you.
My bet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're looking
Adam,
good,
you know
though.
About the bet, right?
Of course.
That when they were 16-8, they go to the break. Willie gave me, hey, they're going to finish 28-12 or better. I was like, book it. Let's go.
Yep.
They're 18-12.
Yep.
And I gave you the exact reason, one of the reasons why. Now, I also think they're a flawed team and they're not as deep as they used to be. And to Adam's point, the rest of the league has gotten better. But coming out of the break was going to be tough. While most of the league got to rest, Liberty have two players and they beat them, but who were in the Olympics. But they were going to come out a little less than stellar. And I think the biggest thing all season, Adam, is I really think intimidation was a big thing for them. I don't think anyone's intimidated anymore at all. To the point where Asia Wilson, what, two games ago, was that the Sunday game? Sunday game, like after the first quarter, she's like, she's complaining about the officials, like, don't look at me like that. I deserve to have a word on this court. Like, what are you, like, you're getting frazzled.
Yeah.
Like, you're worrying about the officials. Don't worry about the officials. Worry about defense. Everyone worry about defense. Get better. Because it ain't been good all year.
I still think, I think they're going to win it. I think the it's very similar to Chiefs last year. I think they got the best player in the league. You know, Adrian Wilson is Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. So.
I don't think they have the best player in the league.
Wait, what?
I think Breonna Stewart's the best player in the league. I think end of the game, ball in hand, she can score from anywhere on the floor. I don't believe if you get Asia Wilson on the wing that she's as good as Breonna Stewart.
Yeah, but that's you're talking about one possession. I'm talking about the impact of the whole game. Yes, if they find themselves in a position where the last shot wins it, is Asia Wilson the best player to have the ball in the hand? Maybe you can make argument that she's not, but I'm talking about for the full game, I want her on the floor over any other player.
She's right up there with the best players in the league. She's a top five player in the league.
She's the best.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah. I think she might be the best player.
Close?
I don't think it's close.
I think
she's,
she might
by
be
the way, she's not. She can't win the MVP if they finish like 24 and 16
did last year.
Yeah,
gonna have to now. They screwed her out of it.
We'll see.
I think she's a runaway. I think she's gonna win the MVP, whether they take fifth or sixth in the league, whatever it may be. I mean, the season she's putting up is just unrivaled right now.
Justin Watkins with us. So let's get to one of my favorite themes. We love having these discussions because you know Adam is a fan of a school that is a have. I went to a school that is a have. I'm at Oregon State. We'll see. It's been tough for Oregon State fans. You went to Oregon State, but especially the Oregon State experts up on Twitter. Your boy OS Beaver is back. Rumors Oregon State has more Big 12 votes than UConn for admittance. Wow. That's interesting. First of all, do you believe that?
I believe that there... I believe that there is a sort of handshake, wink, nod deal that they're going to get into the Big 12. But they can't do it right now because part of the Pac-12 settlement was if you don't rebuild the league and you go to any other league on a full basis, then all of the remaining assets get split amongst all the 12 teams. So they have to ride this thing out until 2026. That's in place until 2026. Mm-hmm. So they cannot become a full member of any league until then. And so the rumors now are that the Big 12 is talking to UConn and potentially Gonzaga about basketball only, and then to Oregon State and Wazoo about football only, which makes a ton of sense because then they are affiliate members and not full members. Now they're affiliate members of multiple. They can keep their baseball and they can keep their wrestling independent because those Olympic sports, and well, baseball's not an Olympic sport anymore, those sports are, they have their own prestige level where they can run as independents and still get a great schedule. They could still, you know, put people into the national tournament for wrestling. Baseball can still make the College World Series. I mean, they're going to be a top 10 team again this year. So they can survive that window of the next 2 years, those two sports, and not have to affiliate with a conference. So from Oregon State's perspective, it makes a ton of sense that they can, whether they'll call it a scheduling agreement for 2026 with the Big 12 or whether they're an affiliate membership, I think that that's what's happening. Maybe it's a little bit of hopefulness that that's what's happening.
You can have hope. You guys have a football program that has had success. You've invested money in football. The flip side of this is, and we'll have to carry it over. We got like 30 seconds left. The UConn part of this is pathetic because they're telling them you can't join football until 2031. What does that even mean? Like there could be a complete realignment. I mean, I guess if UConn's like, we have to get in somehow to the Power Four structure now, and then maybe we're dragged in. It's a weird deal. 2031 for football.
Well, that's when their football contract's up.
Right. But that's also going to be the time period when there is, I think, probably the reorganization of all the football, whether they're going to go to a Big 40, Big 60, or Big 80. We'll follow up on this with more realignment. And, boy, you're not going to believe, man, oh, man, the Big Ten Network, what a hit it's going to be out on the West Coast, for especially in L.A., for USC and UCLA.
It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Justin is here with us. It's his building. It's the least we could do, right?
Yes.
You're allowed to come into your studio. You're here all the time. We were talking about a college football coach who apparently didn't spend a lot of time around his kids or his university during the summer. A topic for another day. Adam Hill, Cofield, Justin Watkins. You want to watch us live? We're at Steve Cofield right now up on Twitter. We love the conference realignment talk. You're in the center of this because you're an Oregon State guy. Oregon State is kind of biding its time with Wazoo. This year, the football programs are going to play six games in the Mountain West Conference. And then there's what happens in the future. There's a lot of speculation about the aggressiveness of Brett Yormack in the Big 12. Just to finish up on a Gonzaga and UConn addition for basketball, and then maybe football down the road for UConn. The UConn situation is really interesting. Even though they're very high profile in basketball, financially it's a weird deal there.
Yeah, they're, I mean, I read in one of the articles about it that they are the most subsidized university in D1 from taxpayers and the state. So, you know, it just goes to show that, like, this is a football-generated athletic department. You know, that's the only sport that can actually cover the cost associated with all the other Olympic sports. Because obviously nobody's been more successful over, you know, last decade than UConn, and they are probably the number one basketball brand now, and they make money, but not enough to cover anything else. You know, we were talking before you went off air about, well, football can't get in until 2031. Well, if they tried to bring in UConn football 2031, they would have to get the sign off from ESPN to do the pro rata distribution, and there's no way they're going to give UConn football $30 million because it's not successful. It's got a small stadium that's never filled, and they don't have any sort of winning tradition. They don't have any TV ratings. So the idea that's been floated around that I've been reading is that they would have some sort of scheduling alliance with UConn to allow them to start playing some Big 12 teams, that they'd have some financial benchmarks that they have to hit by 2031. I think they'd have some stadium improvements that they'd have to hit by 2031. They hit those things. 2031's when the TV contract comes back up, then they could be admitted as a football member as well. But what would be interesting about all of that is I think the Big 12 is really at the forefront of decoupling all of the different revenues and selling those rights, meaning football has its own deal, basketball has its own TV deal, and then Olympic sports probably, and I think this is where Oregon State, Washington State comes in with the Pac-12 assets, with the Pac-12 distribution network, that's where the home would be for the Olympic sports running your own channel, running your own network, so that everything else could be watched and seen and heard. So I actually think they're really far ahead of the curve here on some of that stuff. And it's why, you know, there is rumors too that the ACC is reaching out to OSU and WSU. And I just don't think that's a good home. The ACC would be doing that assuming they're going to lose probably four or six of their top teams. And at that point, what's left and what they try to add, I think Oregon State, Washington State would be in a better position to build something out west. You know, like,
I mean, it's just so much to process. So, the Big Ten, I mean, how great is this for USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington? They dealt with the Pac-12, the mismanagement, the disorganization, the lack of foresight. I mean, hell, the Pac-12 network wasn't on in a lot of places. It's going to be great for the West Coast schools that went to the Big Ten. Turn on the Big Ten network. The quality of the programming is dynamite. They'll get to watch all of this coverage. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'll get to watch it, but the people who live in Oregon and Washington and L.A. will not be able to watch their team week on the Big Ten Network if you're on standard cable.
What?
If you're not a cord cutter.
Wait, we're doing this again?
It's blacked out.
Oh, no.
It's blacked out.
No.
Yeah, so they can't. Oh, no. The Big Ten Network does not have a distribution agreement with Comcast right now, and that's the local cable provider in L.A., and throughout Oregon and throughout Washington. So unless you're a cord cutter, you're not going to be able to see the Ducks, the Huskies. UCLA is not on Big Ten Network this week, so it'd be USC.
Okay, I don't mean this in a bad way, but this is like the 15th go-around, especially in LA with issues with cable companies.
Yep.
The cable companies are always like, hey, the providers are being unrealistic. How many cases do we have to have here where the cable company can't come to a deal?
Well,
where you're finally like, all right, cable companies, am I pointing the finger at the wrong entity in this case?
I think so.
Really?
Specifically for LA, because everybody's like, well, it's such a great TV market. You know, the cable companies should be falling all over themselves to pay for this distribution deal. The problem is nobody watches it. Their TV ratings are not good. I mean, I can't say the same about Oregon and Washington. They had good ratings. Oregon has pretty good ratings. Washington, the last 2 years, has had good ratings. But USC and UCLA do not push, do not move the needle on ratings. And so you're asking the cable providers to pay to be in a TV market that does not produce at its population level. So there's a reason why LA consistently has problems with getting their distribution deals done on cable and other providers. I mean, we'll remember this. The big part about when Pac-12 Network launched is it couldn't get DirecTV done. And the reason why it couldn't get DirecTV done is because of the LA network. They were asking them to pay too much.
Being a consumer sucks sometimes.
Yep.
It does. We seem to always be on the wrong side. And it's like, hey, pick between this pain in the ass and this evil, and you're like, I don't want to pick either.
Now, all of a sudden, Oregon State and Washington State's deal with the CW is looking pretty good. You know,
you were saying that a lot of people, in especially I would assume Oregon is mocking on Oregon State fans.
Yes.
Like, oh, the CW.
Yeah, go on the Cartoon Network, you know. That's the kind of comments you get from the Duck fans. But it's, guess what? It's on 99-point-something% of all TVs in the United States. You don't have to have any cable to get it. But it is also on every single cable network. It's on every single distribution. So, there, you know, I'll be able to watch every single Oregon State game.
Let's talk a little fantasy football here, because Adam's in 81 leagues, and, well, we're in one league together. Justin, again, your plan was this year you changed things a little bit. Let's get some running backs. Who's your star running back?
Breece Hall is my number one.
And then who's the number two?
Williams.
Kyron Williams. Adam, what's going on with Kyron Williams and the Rams?
What's how many points do we get for punt return yards in this league?
You get punt return touchdowns, though. You do get touchdowns.
Oh, look at the spin.
You do. No. I've always looked at that. When I'm looking at my down tier receivers, I mean, I don't want my top guys to be punt returners, but my receivers down at the end of the draft, I always look to see if they are on the punt return or kick return team, because who knows? If they house one, it could make the difference in that week.
Sure, but it's not a good sign. I have a lot of Kyron Williams, too. Most leagues, you do get a touchdown, you know, points for a touchdown in there. But the problem is
RB2, punt return.
The potential that he could get hurt, or the potential that, hey, maybe they don't need him carrying the ball as much if they're going to make him a punt returner. If they valued him that much as an offensive player, he probably wouldn't be returning punts.
I think the second point is the strongest point, is if you're putting him in punt return, he's not your RB1 in all downs. You know,
let's
in all
go,
situations.
Blake Corum.
I'm gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. We're fine. We're fine. You know, I went running back deep. You know, I got what is it? Is it Dowdle and
Rico Dowdle?
Yeah,
they signed Dalvin Cook. So have fun there,
Dalvin Cook. No, he's not gonna steal carries. I think we're gonna be okay.
Hard Knocks. I know you've been paying attention. Adam's been paying attention. Justin Watkins is with Cofield and Company. Last year, I think the coach who made the biggest impression from the Dolphins was Nunzio Campanile. This year, I was going to make a reference. No one's going to understand it. Campanile's a big name in New Jersey for football, from their dad down to the kids are all over the place coaching. The Morton name's pretty good in you know, football as well. Did you see someone emerge as sort of the star, almost kind of scarily, in Chad Morton?
I thought he's a bit of a psycho on the field. He's like running downfield with the running backs during practices, like talking trash to the defense. He's wild.
I love him. Like, yeah, he's the exact kind of coach that I like, that I like to be coached by. He's tough love. I mean, there's no doubt there's love there, but it's tough love. You know, he's hypercritical. But he is enthusiastic. You can tell he loves the game. You can tell he loves doing what he does, and I think that comes across. I don't think any of the players would think otherwise. I don't think that they think he's just a mean dude who doesn't care about them. So I thought he was great. I think he's, from the coach's perspective, I think he's the highlight of the Bears section of this Hard Knocks.
Not a big Eberflus guy.
Yeah, I mean,
he still didn't win you over.
Eberflus? No,
nothing.
No, I mean,
wow.
What did he do that on the show? I'm saying on the show. What did he do on the show? I mean, he was a country club guy. That's all I got out of it.
Oh wow, ooh. That's a low blow.
No, he is. That's literally the first episode. He got everybody out to his country club.
That doesn't mean he's a true country club.
I think he was dressed out. I think it was his house.
I think his house is a country club.
Yeah, okay. But
Some people get money. They live the life for a little bit. A country club guy's nothing against country club people out there. That's a hell of an accusation.
What are you talking about?
That's vicious.
No.
It's one of the worst things you could say about a person.
The whole first episode was him not only being in the country club and bringing everybody to the country club, but he was talking nonstop to all players and families about the country club.
I know.
Like, he had the country club attire. He's a poser.
He's a poser.
No,
he's Larry David country club. He's Adam Hill or myself in a country club.
No.
Like, we know it's short lived.
No, we're holding down the vomit. No, he is in the country club. I'm out.
If that's your call, I'm out.
No, not relatable. Yeah, me too. First episode, I was like, that's not who I want as my head coach. He did play the game.
He did play linebacker. He is tied to Saban.
Yeah.
There's some legitimacy there. We'll continue on this on the other side. It's Cofield & Company, Battleborn Injury Lawyers here on this Wednesday. Give them a call when you need help. 766-1400 is the number, 775 in the north.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield & Company. All right, Hard Knocks. Beyond that, first of all, you want to talk about, I was just talking about what a psycho I am during the break about who said it the other day? Oh, Jackson Woodard, the UNLV linebacker, was talking about his mentality as a walk-on. And he's like, I never thought of myself as a walk-on. I come in the building to compete and beat everyone every day, and I want to win. Right?
Love it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Let's not go on a Gen Z attack here.
Why would I?
Well, that went back. That was a discussion we had like 3 months ago when Gen Zers are trying to establish standards and like how much I'm going to work and my schedule. And you're like, oh, Gen Zers. So with this Bears team, right, what are we getting from the show in terms of winning?
17-0?
No. Come on.
I mean, you got to put them up there with the all-time greats, the Patriots.
Oh, stop. They did that in the huddle.
The 85 Bears.
Yeah. Austin Reed was all over that.
Yes. They're going to talk when they talk about the greats, they're going to talk about the 2024 preseason.
They all chuckled after that in the huddle.
They liked it, though. They liked it. Good.
Yeah, preach.
Yeah.
My biggest concern now in terms of winning, is Caleb Williams the right choice when you have the Bajans around the Bears? Maybe CW shouldn't be the starting quarterback. They showed the arm wrestling again.
Yeah, he's great.
Tyson, what a character.
Tyson went to the event.
What do you think of the dad? I feel like you usually don't like people like this.
I hate him.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, me too.
Why?
Yeah.
Just too much?
Yeah. Like if I was – that's not how I would want my dad to be. But he's great for the show.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah, he's a great character. But like – If I was trying to make an NFL team, you know, he's just cast a big shadow. He's a big personality. I'm sure he's a good dude. I'm sure he's a good dad. He seems to, you know, he's there all the time for his son. You know, that's cool. He's got an interesting story. He's always on.
Like, you don't have to be. I get when you're competing, you have to be that guy.
Yep.
You have to be that guy when you're competing.
Yes.
You don't when you're not competing.
Yes.
Be normal. Be a person.
Yes.
No, you're not watching a game like, that's how you compete.
Yes.
That's your character. Yeah. It's not you now. Stop.
No, he's just that dude. Oh, he's just that dude, yeah.
Is that the same reason you're not always a fan of radio guys?
Oh, God.
Right.
They always got to be on.
Well, there's a guy. It's not. Nobody even know who this is. He's a guy who just does random shows somewhere else that nobody would ever know.
In Kansas City?
No. He's not even on terrestrial radio. I'll say that. Right. I despise him because his voice is so fake on the air, and he always does it.
Really?
And he's like in a character. And then I talk to somebody who knows him, and he's like, "Hey, he's one of my best friends. Great dude." And I'm like, "Why is he always in this character on the air? You don't have to be all the time." He's like, "Yeah, he just goes with it." I'm like, "Oh, it just drives me nuts."
I don't think
there's other people too, as Steve knows, that are the same way.
I don't think the dad is being a character. I think he's literally that dude.
I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I think that's him all the time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He's just always brought up with muscles.
I'm saying, Yes, he's always like that in public. But he's not reading a book like, this book's great. Like, that's not who he is.
He's not reading
a book.
That's not
who he is. You know what I mean, though? He's not doing that in everyday life. Like, he's not doing it when he's relaxed.
I think he is.
He always wants to be in that character all the time.
I think he's that dude. He's that dude if he's watching a game at home by himself. I think he's like...
Say he has a pool in the backyard and he's swimming in the backyard.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll attack these strokes. Yeah. Like he's
cannonball.
Not.
I do.
Well, only if there's people around. No. When he's by himself, he's not like that.
Maybe not, but I don't know.
Those types of people drive me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, without spoilers, I think the last episode was really big about... injuries and they really focused on parents when their kids get injuries, that was what pulled on the heartstrings on this one.
Justin, thank you. Good spot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We turn our attention to a little gambling, a little NFL week one is one of the new hosts at BetQL. Femi Bebefe is up with Cofield and Company.
Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So many cool events coming to Las Vegas, especially this weekend on September 1st, MGM Grand Garden Arena, AXS.com. Get your tickets for Nick Cannon's Wild and Out live tour. They're pretty good. I saw a poster. I don't know the rest of the characters on this, but they looked fired up, intimidating, ready to deliver some entertainment.
Funny?
And funny.
Yes.
And funny. Yes. I don't know what I don't even know what it is. What is it?
Well, the show was great. I mean, it was a lot of improv, both roast battles and rap battle kind of stuff going back and forth.
Sure.
The show was great. I assume it's just a live version of that.
Roast battles for me are intimidating because I wouldn't be able to participate. I'd get steamrolled.
There's some good lines have come out of that.
September 1st, Nick Cannon's Wild Now Tour, MGM Grand Garden Arena. Going to be a fun time. Lots of laughs. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. Let's get into NFL.
Did you really never see the show Wild Enough?
I've never seen it.
That's it was absolutely stunning. Actually.
It was on MTV?
Yeah.
There are so many MTV shows I've never seen.
I'll guarantee Femi seen it.
I will guarantee that Femi didn't see it. Femi Bebefe is in with us now with BetQL. Femi, you don't even know who Nick Cannon is, right?
Dude, it's time for the wild style. How have you not been wilding out?
Damn it! I'm the stiff on the show again. Oh, no.
Wilding out, it's a classic at MTV. I mean, now it's just ridiculousness that they air 24/7 and they make me mix in a little bit of the challenge. But Wildin' Out was a staple back then, man. That was a good time.
Do you guys remember Puck on season 2 of The Real World?
I do remember Puck.
I'm old.
I remember when Puck got his face, he spit in that dude's face in, the Real World Road Rules Challenge way back when. And, the dude ended up, who got his face spit in, got thrown off the show. And, they were like, no, we want to keep Puck. But, yeah, Puck was a good time in The Real World.
Yeah, that was it for me on MTV. It was probably 27 years ago. I want to get to the National Football League. You are a guy who knows a lot about Colorado sports, so I want to talk a little Deion in a couple of minutes. But I found some good props in faraway places, and it sets up some stories for the NFL season. Before we do any of that, Femi, you have a new job, and that's exciting. You're going to be doing daily radio Monday to Friday. You're in a great time slot. So tell the Vegas audience what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. I'm now a part of BetQL. Was previously at VSiN for the last few years, but went ahead and took a new opportunity at BetQL, which I started this Monday. So Monday through Friday from noon to 4 Vegas time. You can check me out over on the BetQL app or over on Odyssey, SiriusXM as well. I don't know what the channel is. That's a bad job by me. I should know what that is. But we're also on SiriusXM. If you just search You Better You Bet, I think you should be able to find it. But the show is You Better You Bet. It's myself. It's Nick Costos who's been doing the show. And it's a lot of it is the wagertainment, what BetQL has been branded. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about bets and games because that's what we do. We bet every night. We give out baseball plays nightly right now. College football this upcoming weekend will be dialed into that. And, of course, the big behemoth, the NFL, starting next week. So it's a really fun show. It's 4 hours. We try to win some bets. We try to get some laughs in. But I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Once again, You Better You Bet on the BetQL app and Odyssey Sports.
Let's talk. We're going to go right to the bottom of the barrel in the National Football League with some of these prop bets to the Patriots. What are we looking at here in terms of starting quarterback? Is there our odds up Brissett against Drake May? And how does the season play out? I'm not going to say the Pats are an automatic fade because we got to see what the number is each week, but I don't think the Patriots are going to be good. I mean, like, really bad this year.
Yeah, I was asked about 3 months ago who I thought was going to be the worst team in the league, and I said the Patriots, without hesitation. Like, I just think that the roster's been depleted, and we've seen so far in the preseason, and I know it's the preseason, so you don't want to put way too much stock into it, but that offensive line, it looks like it's going to struggle. And I think, because Jerod Mayo, the head coach, announced today that he is going to let everybody know tomorrow, that being Thursday, that he is going to go ahead and make a decision for QB1 to start week one when they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think he's going to end up playing it safe and going with Jacoby Brissett. Now, Jacoby Brissett suffered an injury. Like, he injured his right shoulder on Sunday Night Football in the last preseason game against the Commanders. I thought May looks pretty good in that effort. Now, they might not want to throw May to the Wolves with the offensive line being bad. They don't want to really damage him. So, on one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, I mean, I think May is better than Brissett right now. And if the goal is to try to play the best players and to ultimately win games, let's see what Drake May can do. You know, like, yeah, the offensive line is bad, but Joe Burrow's offensive line was bad as well his rookie season. Now, I guess you can throw it in my face that maybe that's why he tore his ACL and was out for the year at the midway point. But at least we got to see Burrow in that first year and show the glimpses of, oh, this is going to be a really good quarterback. Maybe that would be the case with Drake May if they put him out there in week one. But I do think it's going to ultimately be Jacoby Brissett. And if that's the case, I have no interest in the New England Patriots whatsoever. Maybe the floor is a little bit higher with Brissett since he has experience, but the ceiling is much, much lower if you go with Brissett versus Drake May, who's sort of the unknown right now in their quarterback room.
There's another prop out there, Caleb Williams against Jaden Daniels. Which quarterback will win the most games as a starter? Caleb Williams, a huge price at -$3. I guess all you're betting on here is that Caleb Williams stays healthy?
I think so, but also I might be in the camp that says the Commanders can be a little bit frisky this upcoming season. I think that having Dan Quinn there is a total 180 just in terms of the vibe check. Like that team was done with the Ron Rivera era. I was surprised he actually coached in 2023, ultimately getting fired, and then they went ahead and just moved on and went to Dan Quinn. But I think Quinn is going to have those guys playing hard. That team, they're not like devoid of talent. They have some good players on that roster. I mean, Terry McLaurin is one of the better receivers in the National Football League, and Jaden Daniels is also really good. And my thing with this is that we've yet to see either guy take a snap in an NFL regular season game. So we can assume, because Caleb Williams went number one overall, that he is the better quarterback. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a terrific quarterback, but I also think Jaden Daniels is going to be terrific as well. Both guys Heisman Trophy winners. Both guys put up big numbers in college. I just think that the Commanders, in their division, it'll be an easier path to victory than it will be for the Bears and Caleb Williams in the NFC North. Like, I'm sneaky high on Minnesota. I think that they could be a surprise team in the NFC. I really like Detroit as well as many other people. I think Green Bay is another good team as well, at least at that 9-10 win range. And we start adding this thing up. It's like, where are the wins coming from the Chicago Bears, who have probably the worst offensive line in the division? So Caleb Williams had a bad O-line at USC. Get ready, buddy. You better start having your head on a swivel, because the O-line isn't that much better with the Chicago Bears. So at +200 for Jaden Daniels to have more wins than Caleb Williams, I think it's worth something at least a little bit, just given the fact that these guys are unknown commodities. And I think that Daniels plays in the far worse division in the NFC East versus Caleb Williams in the NFC North.
I think Jaden Daniels is a star, but I don't think he's a miracle worker. So I think it is going to be tough with the Commanders. However, I will ask a favor of you. I know you do a lot of radio shows and spots. Stop talking about Terry McLaurin for like 10 days, please, because his ADP in fantasy leagues is very low, and it's ridiculous that people are not drafting him.
He's such a good player. Like, watching him, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I watch a lot of NFC East games. McLaurin is a stud. They just haven't had the quarterback play to get him the football. And the O-line is shaky for Washington. But, yeah, no, I'll keep it on the hush-hush, though. We're not going to spoil your Terry McLaurin sleeper in your fantasy draft over these next 10 days.
Appreciate that. I think he's going like the 10th round. It's
all right. All right. He's going to protect it for you. Everything is not Adam Hill's fantasy football.
This time of year it is.
You're the worst. Give me a team, and you can just pick one of the conferences if you want, that's going to have a backslide. I say NFC, it's the Packers. I say AFC, it's the Texans. You can certainly quibble with those, but do you have a team where you're like, ooh, I don't know, man. I think this team's going to go back a little bit.
I would say, and I don't think they're going to go back very far because I think they're still going to make the playoffs, but it's hard not to look at what's been going on in San Francisco and be like, are we sure this is going to be the team that we've seen over the last couple of years be on the doorstep of winning a Super Bowl, getting the multiple NFC title games? I mean, everyone's been focused on Brandon Ayuk, and I get it. Like, he's a stud, a really good player. But in my opinion, their best player on the team is Trent Williams, and he has not been at training camp at any point. He is a legitimate holdout, not a hold-in like what Ayuk's been doing to avoid the fines. Williams is a holdout, and it doesn't sound like there's too much traction in terms of a contract negotiation. I mean, we've seen other guys like Christian Darrisaw and Penei Sewell get, like, these big deals. I'm sure Trent Williams is saying, hey, look at my tape. I'm better than both of those guys, even though they're younger than me, but I'm the best left tackle in the league. Pay me as such. And the Niners right now, they've paid Bosa. They've paid Deebo Samuel. They want to pay Ayuk if he wants to take a contract. Apparently, he wants something more. But they have so many big contracts, and even Brock Purdy, who's going to be eligible for an extension at some point next offseason, they're trying to earmark this thing to where they're saying, hey, like, we can't pay everybody, and maybe someone's going to be on the short end of the straw here. But I just don't see it being where we see both Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk on this 2024 49ers team. Like, unless something miraculously changes over these next couple of weeks. But Ayuk, based on how he's been acting, I think he's crazy enough to miss game checks. Like, most guys will take it all the way up until, all right, I want to still get paid. I think Ayuk, based on how he's behaved this offseason and what he's doing now, he didn't go up to practice this afternoon. I think he might be willing to pull a Le'Veon Bell and just say, either trade me or I'm not showing up and I'll just forfeit a year. So I think the Niners are going to take a step back in their division. And I do think the three teams chasing them got better, whether it's the Rams or the Seahawks and the Cardinals. I think all three of those teams got a little bit better this offseason. I know the Rams, they lost Aaron Donald and all that stuff, but I still love that offense. I think it has the potential to be the best offense in the league. I think they're going to give the 49ers some problems. So we're not going to see that 12-13 win team from San Francisco. Maybe they dip down to like 10-11 wins. I think more so 10 wins. Still a good team, but a team that's not going to be up there competing for the one seed in the NFC.
Offseason talk is almost over. 8 days away from the first game, Chiefs and Ravens. Chiefs about a field goal favorite over Baltimore, which I still love, but they did lose quite a bit this offseason.
Yeah, the Chiefs, they're right now, it's like you can find some 2.5s, you can find some 3s. This, to me, is more so, and I guess it's a backing of Kansas City, but I also want to fade Baltimore in this spot because we didn't see Lamar Jackson at all in the preseason. I always find it a little bit shaky, some of those quarterbacks going out there for those first games. Like, it feels like you have to take like at least one half to get used to NFL game speed and sort of shake off the rust since we haven't seen Lamar since that AFC title game this past January. But the Ravens lost a lot on their offensive line. How is that O-line going to do with a bunch of backups pretty much playing because they didn't really go out in free agency to replace those guys? It's a lot of second-unit guys, guys that they've drafted, which they draft really well. But can those guys really step up and rise to the occasion in this particular spot on the road at Arrowhead Stadium, one of the toughest places to play in the NFL? And then on the other side of the ball, you have Zach Orr taking over for Mike McDonald as defensive coordinator. Zach Orr's never called the defense before. Well, his first task is to try to stop an Andy Reid offense that is directed by the best quarterback in the National Football League in Patrick Mahomes. I think Orr will ultimately be fine as a DC, but in this game, having to make those adjustments on the fly, it's going to be a work in progress for this Ravens team. I like their season win total under, and I also like Kansas City in the spot laying 2.5, even up to 3. I'd lay 3 with the Chiefs. I think they go ahead and take care of business, send a statement to the rest of the National Football League, especially after the way we saw them start last season, losing at home to the Detroit Lions with no Chris Jones and no Travis Kelce. Kansas City's healthy. They've restocked the wide receiver room. The defense is really good. I think they're going to throw a lot of stuff at that young offensive line there with Steve Spagnuolo, what he does schematically. I like KC laying 2.5 and even up to 3 on opening night.
Femi, that was great. Congrats on the new gig. Again, everyone out there, go listen to Femi, along with Nick Costas, who probably doesn't know Nick Cannon either, up on the BetQL app. We'd love to get you on again soon. Again, congrats with the new job. We'll be listening. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Be well.
There he is. Femi did a great job at VSiN. He's now with Odyssey, and he's a really good voice on the NFL and college football. Another hour's on the way. We're about 62 minutes away from the Barry Odom Radio Show.